with Todd Stelzel today, candidate for Wisconsin DPI superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd, tell us why you're running.
I'm running because I would like to make a difference in the lives of students. I've got a 5-plank platform, and I would like to address public education funding and try to come up with a fund balance so that when the money belt gets tight, programs are not slashed, which ultimately shortchanges students the necessary skills. I'd also like to improve the PI 34 teacher licensing requirements. In addition, I would like to maintain and strengthen vocational and technical education programs because I still believe that construction and manufacturing are the backbone of this economy. I would also like to uncover some of the deceptive truths about No Child Left Behind and how I believe it undermines the special education process. And then finally, I'd like to address the learning gap that exists between a very diverse group of Wisconsin students.
Can you describe your background? You know, Todd, what do you think prepares you for this statewide position?
My background includes 20 successful years of teaching industrial education. I have taught in West Bend, out in Palmdale, at Palmdale High School in California. My wife and I moved back to the Madison area. I taught at La Follette, McFarland, and now the last 11 years at Wisconsin Heights. So I've been in rural schools, large schools, medium-sized schools, small schools, schools with declining enrollment, schools with too many students. So I have a very diverse background. I've been extremely involved at the local level with many different committees. I co-authored, for instance, our school district's tech plan, so I've completed a few DPI forms. In addition, I have coached wrestling and also been involved with other extracurricular activities. And in my profession, I have always put the student first in a very long, long list of priorities. In fact, what I can tell you is that when I am in front of a group of students, I have always treated those students as if they were my own children. And so I pride myself on that fact. And what's flattering is as I was going through my grassroots campaign and the nomination process, I gathered over 2,400 signatures, about half of which came from my learning community. And so that support would suggest that I've done a fine job, in my opinion, in the classroom.
Okay. Well, Todd, why should I or us Wisconsin citizens vote for you? What's the main case for you?
I bring to this office characteristics that stand out in my opinion. I'm honest, trustworthy. I know if you were to call back home, and you could certainly look in the phone book and call anybody up in the village of Black Earth and Mesa Mani, and they would say the very same things that I'm telling you. I'm accountable. I say what I'm going to do. I have perseverance. I certainly finish what I start. I'm eager. I have ambition. I'm also very knowledgeable about this business that we call PK-12 education, after having been in the business for 20 years and seen the pendulum swing back and forth a few times. So I bring a teacher's perspective, I bring a historical perspective, and insight that may help us get us out of this slight mess that we find ourselves in today.
Todd, what do you hope to accomplish if elected?
If elected as state superintendent, I hope to accomplish a few things. First of all, I really hope to bring people together, Jim, to help us figure out a solution for this slight mess that we're in. And the solution is this. We need to come up with other alternatives for creating revenue to ensure in the future that when the money belt gets tight, programs will not be slashed. That is foremost on my agenda. I want to definitely make sure programs are not slashed. So we need a fund balance. Some of the ideas that I had, I thought of some toll booths along the borders mm-hmm. of Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And that money would be earmarked for education, for school districts who were in declining enrollment mm-hmm. and in need of cash to maintain worthwhile programs. Mm-hmm. I'd also thought of a non-resident property tax. If the Wisconsin DNR can generate more revenue by charging the non-resident to pay more for a hunting or a fishing license, then why can't education benefit from the non-resident as well, who comes up or comes down or comes east or west and enjoys our resources, such as the lakes that I fish on, that they jet ski on and water ski on, and I don't have a problem with the jet skiers or the water skiers. I'm just saying that it's quite possible that education could benefit from a slight increase in the non-resident's property tax. So that would be an item on my agenda that I would like to make sure happens as state superintendent. In addition, I would like to make sure that we target families who are in need of early intervention, because I believe that the closer a family gets to the poverty level line, the more likely students are to be at risk. And so I would like to target the four-year-olds. I've always thought four-year-olds should have to go to school. In fact, we even may want to take a look at a Just Threes program in the public school. I was happy to see Doyle come out with his five-star rating system for daycare providers. And again, I thought, you know, this may be the case between the uninformed and the informed. And so you need to get your hands on that information to make sure that your daycare provider, for instance, is providing a quality program right. that the parent is happy with. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, are they going to be able to drive the extra 30 miles while going to work out of their way to get to the five-star daycare? Right. So it may be a matter of convenience here too. However, those daycare providers need to be accountable as well, and so I was happy to at least see that five-star plan. Mm-hmm. And finally, as state superintendent, getting back to one of my planks on my platform, I definitely want to strengthen the vocational and technical education programs. In this case, again, I don't want to throw money at a problem. Rather, what I'd like to do, and I'm a man who is fair, and if there are so many stipends to go around, and I know that instructors who have developed articulated agreements with area technical colleges to get high school students dual credit, high school credit and college credit at the same time, they've not earned stipends, then perhaps we take stipends offered to this group of teachers and the next year offer them to these teachers who have an opportunity to develop articulated agreements for stipends, and then kind of alternate, you know, the stipends every other year. So at least all groups benefit somewhat. And so, unfortunately, in our business, and in this business education, we're always robbing from Peter to set up Paul. Sure. But the only way I can think of doing that in a fair way is to say, look, we'll take these stipends from this group and then offer them to this group, and then we'll come back and offer them that way. So that would be one way to strengthen vocational and technical education for sure.
Todd, what sort of advice do you have for others who are considering a run for elected office? You've experienced now dealing with the election board and all these things, so maybe you can elaborate on your experiences and share them with others who are thinking of running.
That's a great question, Jim. In fact, this is probably my most favorite question out of all the questions that you had mailed to me. I have a lot of advice to offer others considering a run at public office. And the first bit of advice is to be highly organized, to make sure that you mathematically have this thing figured out. If 2,000 validated signatures are the minimum needed to get on the ballot, pad yourself by at least 800 to 1,000, because you will run into technicalities that were not explained in the instruction manual. I would also make sure that you have circulators who you can trust. there are the there's this philosophy that I go by, and it's the Doucet ratio. And I examine people, when I examine, as I was picking my circulators, I examined the Doucet ratio within that person. And if I've known that person in the past to not really do what they say they were going to do, I was less likely to call on them. And so what I did was I built a great grassroots campaign. I'm proud of my grassroots campaign. We gathered 2,800 signatures. 2,417 were validated by the State Elections Board, the second highest number. And I was the first one to find myself in a position where I could say I'd done a better job than two other candidates who had been through this process before,
right,
and also had come up short. So as a first-timer, I did not come up short. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of that fact. So I did figure it out, which should suggest that I am highly organized,
yes,
as was my campaign. And we had our I's dotted and our T's crossed, and in addition, we had some fun with it. Mm-hmm. And so that would be another bit of advice, right, that I would have for anyone running for office, to make sure you have some fun with it.
I agree.
Because as soon as you go out there on the campaign trail and tell people what you do, you will be bombarded with things and perhaps even at times offended, and you got to let it kind of slide off your back.
Cool. I like that, Todd. Thank you. How about students? You obviously worked with students for a long time.
Right.
What advice do you have for them as they think about careers?
Over the 20 years, Jim, I can tell you this. You know, as an instructor, I am not about one career pathway, but rather I always have lived by the philosophy to try to expose students to as many different things as possible, try to be a jack of all trades and a master of nothing, because you never know. It's quite possible if you take this introductory course, it might create an interest. Or if you take this advanced level course, perhaps it will enhance an interest. And so I've tried to direct students into different pathways, all of which I can think of would be pretty much inclusive of our world. The military, the two-year degree, the one-year degree at a technical college, a four-year program, entry-level work, apprenticeships. So all of that, you know, as I look at students, I'm aware of, and I let them know are options out there for them. 20 years ago, when I heard that there was this position called state superintendent, I realized that it was the pinnacle of my profession. And realizing that it was the top rung of my company ladder, so to speak, I felt that this arena is the only arena where I could truly impact and make a difference in the lives of children. And so 4 years ago, I decided that I was definitely going to run, even though I had an ambition for over 20 years. I've been telling people that I have not packed for a picnic, but rather I have packed for a 3.5 month long journey. I graduated from Edgewood recently in May of 2004, and so what I hope to do with that education is apply it to this office to ensure that students will never ever be shortchanged when the money belt gets tight. Finally, I am asking for your vote on February 15th during the primary. There are four candidates. I believe I am one of four candidates who brings credibility, but most importantly, I feel that I am a candidate who brings valuable experience and a connection with people that, in my opinion, is unbeatable.